This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. The 2019-2020 season is underway, and joining me to give his thoughts about the NBA season is trends expert Justin Burr. Justin, you're back. Thanks so much for joining me. I missed you, not going
to
lie.
Man, it feels so good to be back. Wow, so happy to be back on the airwaves with you, Mason. How you been?
I've been pretty good. How are you doing, Justin?
I'm great. Everything's good back east, and got a smile on my face. So yeah, let's talk some NBA.
Absolutely. But before we jump into like the All-Star games and everything else, I have to know, when did you become a fan of the NBA? Was it during the Jordan era or the Magic era? Like when did you're like, oh, I'm into the NBA now?
Man, it was definitely around the Jordan era for sure in the 90s. You know, like growing up with those Jordan teams is just so fun to watch. But really what cemented my fandom was those Lakers three-peats from 2000 to 2002 when they had Kobe, they had Shaq. Rest in peace, Kobe. Man, I love you. That was a sad time, but we can talk about that later. But really, I loved listening to Chick Hearn, who is the longtime Lakers radio announcer, the play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Lakers. And my dad and I wouldn't even watch the games on the TV. We'd just tune in to Chick on the radio because he was that good at describing the action that you wanted to. It's like reading the book versus watching the movie. Sometimes it's more fun to read the book because you can imagine all of the action within your head. That was the same way with listening to Chick Hearn and the Lakers. And growing up in San Diego, we didn't have a basketball team, so we just attached ourselves to the Lakers. And man, I just loved watching Shaq play, so dominant. Obviously Kobe as well, but just so dominant in the early 2000s. That's really kind of what got me pretty excited about the NBA.
Man, it was Jordan for me, straight up. Well, I'm from Chicago, so I can't help it.
Right.
But Jordan, I just loved watching that guy fly. He really did fly. The way he would go from half court and then make it in, like, boom. I'm exaggerating, but for a kid, that's exactly what it looked like.
Totally, and I just love his competitive edge. Like, he was just, you know, he's a hard-nosed competitor, man. And that's what Kobe tried to emulate as well, which is why I loved watching him play so much. It's like they were so one-track-minded that they just cared about winning. They didn't care about making friends. They didn't care about looking cool. They just wanted to win. And yeah, I mean, MJ was just, I mean, he's the GOAT, like, no doubt. And just watching his clutch play and the way that he was able to elevate above the rim and just throw down so many outrageous dunks. Yeah, him and Pippen and Kukoc, and especially growing up in Chicago, obviously that is what's awesome. But it's a good era, for sure. The MJ era, for sure. No doubt.
Man, you said it. Michael Jordan is the GOAT. Now, that's been a conversation piece for a long time. Is it MJ the GOAT or is it LeBron James? Which do you think?
Listen, LeBron is the best player of my generation, no doubt about it. It's hard to compare eras. There was different ways of officiating. There was different gameplay. And when you look at LeBron James, he's the most versatile, probably the most versatile, outside of Magic Johnson that the game has ever seen. I mean, he's starting at point guard right now for the Lakers. He can play every single position. He can defend on any switch. And he's just so physically massive and dominant. I feel like maybe Zion Williamson, if he does continue to progress and doesn't get hurt, maybe he can be that physically dominant. But right now, LeBron James is the best player of my personal generation. MJ's got 6 rings. LeBron's got 3. And I don't think everything should be cemented in championships because I think LeBron has had a little bit of a harder road when it comes to certain championships. I think the 2 that he won in Miami, maybe not that difficult, but the 1 that he won in 2016, going down 3-1 against historically the best NBA team in history in those 73-9 win Warriors. That championship for me, and he even said it, he was like, that makes me the greatest of all time. I don't know if it does, but I do think MJ is the greatest, but LeBron, it's hard to compare, but LeBron is the most versatile and the most physically dominant, but maybe not the best player. But I think Kobe is in the conversation as well. He's so clutch. He's got 5 rings, and I know people are kind of elevating his status because of his untimely passing a couple weeks ago. It's hard. Again, the eras are different. There's just a different way of playing basketball.
Well, not just that. I mean, when it comes to being the greatest of all time, which is what GOAT stands for, Michael Jordan takes it, period. But with LeBron, you're right. He can play every position. This guy, he can dunk a ball. He can get the threes in. He can do it all. And I would never take that away from him. He would be an exceptional Hall of Famer, but I don't think he has enough to be the GOAT.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think also, like, now I'm so much more of an engaged NBA fan. Where back in the day when I was watching MJ in the 90s, like, I was just in the single digits of age. So pretty young and just mesmerized by anything. So it's hard for me to really contextualize in my memory how unbelievably dominant Michael Jordan was. I agree. He is the greatest, and there's no one else you'd rather have with the ball in their hands in a late-game situation than Michael Jordan. You can trust him to get anything. And, you know, LeBron, as you said, he's just a different player. Like, he can play whatever position that you put him in. And he's also just, like, not only is he a pure scorer, great on defense when he wants to be, you know, in the past couple of years, he's kind of been taking it easy on that side of the floor, but he's also leading the league in assists right now. So it's like, it's not like he's playing hero ball kind of like Kobe was, where, you know, the guy would take 40 shots a game. LeBron's a facilitator, and he gets other people involved, and he makes his other teammates that much better, which I think can factor into the overall GOAT conversation.
Well, you know, he changed a lot since coming to the Lakers. Before, he was a ball hog. Yeah. But right now in the Lakers, he's learning to share the ball more, especially with AD. And right. That alone, I'm starting to respect him just a little bit more. But we're going to see how that works out, because so far, I don't think they're going to win the championship this year. I'm not even sure they may even make it to it.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting to see this unfold. And it's also crazy to think that the Lakers are potentially overrated, even though they do have the best record in the Western Conference right now. But I agree. I don't really trust them. But also, listen, we're two-thirds of the way through the season. We got the All-Star break this weekend. We don't really know what this team is. They didn't really make any moves at the trade deadline. They tried to get Darren Collison, and he's not coming back to the NBA. They missed out on Marcus Morris. He went to the Clippers. So this team is going to stay intact. We'll see what the buyout market has in store. But I agree. I don't trust them to be dominant. They haven't really beaten a lot of good teams. They have a good record. They've lost to the Clippers twice. They got smoked by the Bucks. They lost to the Rockets. Like, yes, these are the teams you need to be beating, and they're not doing it so far. But I think, again, LeBron has kind of a tradition of turning it on when he needs to. And I think that they can kind of, they have been coasting. They're number one, they're the number one seed in the West. And if they can do that until the playoffs, then they can really get dominant. I mean, they have two of the best five players in the league right now. I think that they're going to be okay. But I agree, I'm not fully bought in with the confidence of this team as a finals contender just yet.
No, you know, even though they're number one in the Western Conference, I don't think that's enough, because their record is almost is the number two. Like, it's the same as Raptors, which is number two on the Eastern Conference. So I'm like, oh, man, it really looks like the Bucks may take it this year. As long as no one gets hurt, you know, the Bucks may take it all the way, which I don't know about you. I'm completely shocked. I mean, it's the Bucks. I mean, who would have thought?
Yeah, getting honest was a big get up for them. I agree. And now the Bucks have a season of this core essentially intact with Giannis, and they have, like, they just didn't look sick last year in the playoffs. And I think that now having a little bit more veteran leadership and a little bit more experience will allow the Bucks to be more successful. And what's also great is that there's just complete parity between the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Like, I think, like, the top five in the East and the West are pretty even, which has not happened in the last decade. You know, there's always been, the Western Conference has always been top heavy. It's always been so much better than the East, and LeBron's had a pretty easy path to the finals in the East every single year. So it's great to see the Eastern Conference actually maybe even being better than the Western Conference. It's just something that we have not experienced in a long time, and it's going to be great down the stretch when we do get into playoff situations. So yeah, I think the Bucks potentially could win it all this year, especially when, like, you look at some of the other teams that are supposed to be legitimate contenders. Like, the 76ers are trash. I don't think they're going to do anything, and I think they're going to fire Brett Brown. They're going to have a second-round exit just like they did last year, and they're just on this wheel of not mediocrity, but they're upper echelon mediocrity. Because if you're not contenders with this core that you've had, and you've put so much time and effort into this rebuilding phase, what are you doing? And it's just not going to work. Like, Simmons and Embiid will just not work together, and I think that they got to ship one of them.
I think they are. Isn't there, like, rumors of a trade?
Yeah. I mean, they were saying, the thing is, there's a lot of speculation about moving Embiid, which it's weird to think. Like, I think that Embiid is a transcendent generational type player, but I almost would rather rebuild around Ben Simmons. Like, I just feel like he has more longevity and more of a ceiling. Just haven't really been that impressed by Embiid. He's awesome, and he's definitely a top 10 player in the league, but, like, you know, he's just not as in shape as you need him to be. He doesn't put in that much effort as you need him to be. And in the late game situations, dude just gets tired and he can't execute. So, I don't know. I'd ship Embiid and rebuild around Simmons and see what they can get there.
You said a while ago that everybody seems to be kind of equal this season. And that's something that I'm really excited about, because I was telling my producer, Shantae, how this season is so exciting because it doesn't come down to big names anymore or having these superstars or having, you know, anything like that. It comes down to hard work. And you can actually see it. I can't think of too many people on Raptors who are like a blowout star. Fred Van Fleet, but that's because of his name. I really like it. And that's the only reason I remembered it. So,
yeah.
But there's nobody there that's like a Kawhi Leonard. He's not there anymore. There's no big name star there. And yet here they are, number two in the Eastern Conference. And you don't know what you're going to get. Every time you watch a game, there's no blowout. There's no 20, 30 point lead anymore. It's really like, oh, it's down to the wire. And that makes every game really exciting this season.
Yeah, it's pretty sick also to watch Kawhi Leonard depart for the Clippers after winning a championship last year with the Raptors. And then the Raptors continue to stay extremely relevant in the East. Like, they lost their best player. They lost maybe the best player in the league right now. And they're still second. Like, Pascal Siakam has been awesome. Same with Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet and Serge Ibaka. Like, I agree, there isn't that many crazy big names on here. But Pascal Siakam, dude, 3 years ago, there's no possible way the casual NBA fan is telling me anything about Pascal Siakam. He really came on the scene last year, and he's been just as dominant this year. He's averaging 24 points a game. Like, the guy's the man. So, yeah, I agree. The parity is all time, and it's great to see these players that you don't really know a lot about, like, just coming up in the league. I feel like there's so many awesome up-and-comers that have just been great. Like, when you look at the Western Conference, the Grizzlies are like much must-watch NBA. If you have NBA League Pass, you've got to watch the Grizzlies, because John Morant, the rookie, is just so much fun. And yeah, there's a lot of young players kind of being ushered into this new NBA era, and it's been sick, dude, for sure.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and then I think of Pelicans. Zion just started playing, you know, because of his injury. And this guy is huge. And I love seeing how fast he can move to that basket, to the net, because it's crazy that this guy is like, I think he's what, 6'8", 6'9"? He's almost 7 feet.
Yeah, he's the heaviest player in the NBA as well.
And he's so fast. I mean, like, for you, like, earlier you kind of compared him to Shaq. And that is so true. I'm so scared he's going to hurt himself, though. He's going to be like Derrick Rose, of a shadow of what he was, you know?
I agree. I am very afraid about his longevity in the league. And, man, I love watching him play. His first game back, when he scored 16 straight in the fourth quarter. I mean, you're just like, dude, this is what we expected from you, and it's so good for the health of the league to have him back in a Pelicans uniform on the court. I agree with the longevity. He's so massive, and he plays so hard and physical, and he's so electric. I'm terrified. But we've also come a long way since a lot of the players, like Brandon Roy, and some of the players who just had chronic injuries that have played themselves out of the league. So hopefully the medical advances in the past decade are going to allow him to continue to play. Because I agree, like, the Pelicans could be pretty sick. You know, they got a huge haul from the Anthony Davis trade, and they have such a young core with building around Zion Williamson that, you know, the next couple of years they could be extremely rad.
Oh, yeah. You know, Brandon Ingram, he really grew. I mean, he went from being okay to being spectacular. And Lonzo Ball, too. I mean, that's so impressive how these guys have, like, really stepped up. And next year, I think Pelicans, as long as Zion doesn't get hurt, they're going to be a huge contender. Like, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I know. Brandon Ingram, you know, as a Laker fan, that was probably the hardest pill to swallow in the Anthony Davis trade. He is great, and he's playing really well. He's averaging 25 points a game and shooting 40% for three. So, guy's the man. I do really like him. I think that the Pelicans definitely have a pretty solid chance of being sick. But I don't know. That's one of the teams, too, that have been kind of just grounded in mediocrity for a really long time. They did have Anthony Davis for forever, and they were never able to do anything with it. So we'll see. They do have an extremely great young core, and they have three first-round picks that they got from that Lakers trade. So, yes, the Pelicans are set up for success. And the fact that now Zion is back in the lineup, you know, they're sitting in, what, 11th right now in the West? So probably not going to make a run at the playoffs this year, which is probably good. Like, it's better for them to just kind of sit back and throw this season away and then come back firing next year when Zion's had a little bit of a season to get his feet underneath him.
Man, so I'm excited for this weekend. NBA All-Star Game, Who do you think's going to win?
Yeah, Team LeBron for sure. Like, I don't know what Giannis is doing in his draft. It's also interesting because, like, the All-Star weekend is just, like, a way for, like, LeBron James to just, like, recruit people to come to the Lakers, and it's just, like, a time to just party up with all these NBA stars and kind of become buddy-buddy with them. But if you look at the starters, you know, LeBron's got LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Luka, and James Harden. Okay, obviously pretty sick. Giannis has got Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, and Trae Young. You know, the LeBron is definitely going to smoke him. But again, like, it's not necessarily, like, that competitive of a game. It's more so just going out there and having fun. I do really like the format where they do get to draft players. They choose captains. It's much more fun, and it's a way to see teams and players play together from different conferences, which is great. It's also awesome to see some new All-Stars on the radar. Bam Adebayo. We've got Domantas Sabonis from the Pacers. Pacers are sick, especially with Victor Oladipo back in the lineup, too. Topic for another discussion, though. But, yeah, I'm excited. I love the All-Star game, and I think Team LeBron's going to handle them pretty easily.
I think it's going to be a really sad game because Giannis is going to be all over that court. He's not going to be able to do anything. I'm shocked they didn't put Jimmy Butler as a starter, though, for Team Giannis. Yeah. But he's a forward like Giannis, though. Maybe that's why he wanted to be in there because he was captain. But Jimmy Butler, I think, would have been better to go up against this monster of a team LeBron, because it's going to be kind of sad to watch.
I know. Yeah, no, hey, Jimmy, what he's done down in Miami has actually been pretty incredible. Like the Heat are legitimate contenders in the East, and before the season, nobody was picking them. You know, you picked them to not even make the playoffs, and now they're sitting at four right now, a couple games back from the Celtics, who are sitting at three, and Jimmy Butler is a big part of that. He's finally found a good fit. You know, he did Not a lot going on in the 76ers this past season, and so him heading down south and making a name for himself, I agree, he could have been an All-Star starter, but, you know, it's whatever, dude. It doesn't really matter. He'll get in the game and do some good work.
You know, you're talking about Jimmy Butler, and I can't help but to think of, like, the old Bulls where Derrick Rose was on there. Derrick Rose is with the Pistons right now, and it's so shocking that he's having a better season right now than when he was MVP.
Yeah, that is pretty insane. I know, that's wild. Dude, the Pistons are a great fit for Derrick Rose. And I know that, like, or the Lakers were trying to get him to come there, and he was like, no, I don't want to be traded. Like, yeah, he's hit his stride, and it's nice to see some resurgence. It was a bummer when he was really struggling, kind of a journeyman around the league, bouncing from team to team. And, yeah, it's awesome to see him kind of get a foothold in Detroit and finally start to put up those all-star-like numbers that we know he's all capable of.
Yeah, he wasn't even a starter. He's bench. He was Pistons bench. Yeah. There's two people. I forgot the guys' names. They're injured, so he had to come up with Drummond, and they were just rocking the league. And a lot of the games I watched, and I was like, they're not going to win. And then they just pulled it in the end, and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm a big fan of Derrick Rose, and I think that's one of the best things about the way the NBA is right now, that you don't have to root for a team anymore. You can seriously just follow the players and root for the players, because I love me some Derrick Rose, and I love me some Jimmy Butler. So I'm like, oh, I'll follow them wherever they go.
True, it is interesting to see the fandom kind of evolve, where you used to be so allegiant to a specific team no matter what. When a player left, didn't matter, you're still rooting for that team. Now, totally, the NBA has such strong personalities, and everybody is their own unique brand because of the rise of social media and different shoe deals and the way that we can follow them now so closely from college to the NBA. And you feel like you really do know each of these players a little bit more intimately than you used to. And so, yeah, it's not even, I really don't even think I'm really that big of a fan of any specific team. I love to just watch different players. Like, I love the Blazers because how dominant Damian Lillard is. That's been great. And then, you know, obviously Derrick Rose on the Pistons and LeBron on the Lakers. It is awesome to watch these players move around. And now Kevin Durant next year, when he's going to be playing for the Knicks, or the Nets, sorry, excuse me, not the Knicks, he gets healthy. It's more fun to be more invested in the players and follow them than it is to just be specific to allegiance to one specific team.
You know who I'm becoming a fan of? And I'm really shocked because I don't like the Lakers just because I don't like LeBron. It's personal at this point.
Yep.
But I have started to fall in love with Alex Caruso. He is such...
Yeah, dude.
Like, how good is this guy? Like, where was he? He was in the G League because he has a two-way contract. And he just blown up here. And it's just absolutely amazing to see him blossom. And it is so cool. And I am such a fan of Alex Caruso. So wherever that guy goes, you know, Mason is going to be right behind him.
I agree. It is really fun to watch this, like, very unassuming type guy
right.
play next to LeBron James and put up really good numbers and just come out of absolute nowhere and be like a legitimate force for the number one team in the West. Yeah, I agree. It is fun. He does play very hard, and you got to respect the game, dude. He doesn't look like somebody that would be that athletic, but sometimes looks can be deceiving.
It's so true, and I think that's why I like him. He's like, don't judge a book by a cover kind of guy, because sometimes he'll just steal that ball, and then boom, he goes and dunks it, and you're like, what just happened?
Yep.
And it's like, well, that was Caruso.
Totally agree.
Well, Justin, I'm so glad to have you back. Just for those who are listening, where can they find more information about you?
Follow me on Twitter at Jay Bursky. Same with Instagram, Jay Bursky. You can see all my Christmas sweater photos and me running around surfing and doing stuff like that. Yeah, those are probably the best ways to keep up. I don't tweet that much. You know, I'm a little bit more active on the gram.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.